Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Bill Curry Ford is a Tampa tradition for 62 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, home of the lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is now offering $500. They're going to give you a gift card just for ordering a new vehicle. No deposit. They make it so easy. Concierge service and their delivery times are fantastic. Great inventory on the lot as well. It all starts at BillCurryFord.com.
BillCurryFord.com. The life's been sucked out of this franchise. And if I see it, the Glazers have to see it.
Buccaneers fans, screw the introduction. We're getting right to the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, in this time of crisis. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Ira, anybody listening to this podcast knows what happened Sunday on the heels of what happened the prior Sunday. We all need you to just let it rip, what we need to understand. The magnitude of all of this as a man who's been covering Buccaneers football since 1985 and a man who's been covering professional sports since the time the Bucks were born. What do we need to know, Ira? As the Bucs sit here at 3-4 atop the miserable NFC South and spiraling fast.
Steve, we don't like to get overly dramatic on this podcast, but Lee, it might be time. Because Lee, I am about to state almost with certainty, this is the worst 2-week span for Buck Nation since they drafted Bo Jackson, and in the aftermath he said he wasn't coming. That's how bad this is. Now, Lee, you can have a bad playoff game at the Vet 2 years in a row, but this is 2 weeks in a row. You can lose to the Rams in tough fashion last year. Well, the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl. They had a very good team. You can do all sorts of things. You can lose a playoff game lead to Washington when the Redskins had 120 yards in total yards that day, and the Bucs lost the playoff game. But this is 2 weeks in a row, and the difference is, Lee, very simple. Tom Brady's on this team. Tom Brady is on the Bucs, and Tom Brady is healthy. That's all you need to know. And they just lost to two of the worst teams in football. They just sent David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, crying in his beer because his own team lost when Tepper wants them to lose, and the Bucs can't take advantage of that kind of situation. Lee, you can have a bad game, as Derek Brooks told me a couple of weeks ago. The 0-2 Bucks, I think, lost 45-0 at Oakland that season. That was one game. You can have one game. But, Lee, after you go into Pittsburgh and lay an egg, and now you're going into Charlotte against a team that's begging to be beat, and you never lead again. Lee, they never led in either game. They never had a lead. And I'll tee it up for you, Lee, with this one. As bad as the play's been, as bad as the play calling's been, perhaps the most alarming aspect of this 3-4 start. There's no energy on this team. There's no enthusiasm. There's no passion. There's no camaraderie. What the heck's going on? They look like they're going through the motions in week 7, Lee. It's unacceptable.
We've heard this time and time and time again since training camp. Shoot, maybe since OTAs. The goal was to get to January. Once we get to January, we beat the Bucks. Once the Bucks get to January, that's when Julio Jones will be there. That's when this guy will be there. That's when that guy will be there. And it seems like they've been waltzing ever since. It's like, we just got to finish the regular season, then we'll be ready for the playoffs. But they forgot, they overlooked one major thing. You got to win games before he could worry about January. And it just seems like there's like a pall over the team. No sense of urgency whatsoever. I like Todd Bowles. And me personally, I don't think he's going to get fired over this. But I think this all stems from Todd Bowles saying, Julio, as long as you're there in January, you're good. You don't have to practice X amount of days because we're just worried about getting you to January. And they forgot the task at hand. The next game. Win the next game. What do we always hear? It's next man up, next game. They forgot all about that. They're already looking to January. Then, whoops, oh, by the way, teams are prepared for them. Teams have them in their bullseye. Teams are ready for games in September and October, and the Bucks haven't recovered.
It's hard to believe how it's all falling apart, Steve, after the 2-0 start. I mean, they played fairly well against Dallas. I mean, the offense wasn't great, but it was a very nice victory in Dallas to lose 4 out of 5. And I'm going to say this, and I'm like Lee. I like the guy. We all do. But business is business. Steve, I'll say it flat out before you even get a microphone on this thing. If Todd Bowles doesn't win this division and they don't make the playoffs, I would think about firing him.
Well, hey, I brought this up last week saying, you know, put it out that hypothetical that if he can't win the division, and you know, you have to get rid of him because there's no reason to have any confidence that he can do better. And once you don't believe in the head coach, there is no point in keeping the head coach unless you're a stupid, foolish organization. Doesn't matter who it is.
At least with me, you've made a better point. If Todd Bowles can't get to the playoffs with Tom Brady, a healthy right. Tom Brady,
right?
Why should you expect him to do anything with a lesser quarterback?
I think that sums it up. That is the ultimate point, Steve. If you said it, bravo to you.
Well, it goes bigger than that, because there could be, you know, this could have been a banner year for the NFC and the Bucks could have won 11 games, 12 games and not made the playoffs. That happens sometimes. So I think it's really about where we are in this, because this division is so miserable and Brady healthy. There's enough talent. It's a crisis of coaching right now, Ira. I watched that game and I looked at that game afterwards, and after the Steelers game, I never thought the Bucs would lose to Carolina, because I thought Todd Bowles would recognize that he had to take a Super Bowl mentality into that Panthers game. That's what the team needed. That's what the game demanded, because any division game like that is critical. That's what the situation demanded. And a Thursday night game, anything can happen. Anybody can get hurt, short notice, quick turnaround, difficult opponent. They had to win at Carolina, and he needed to jack up that urgency that you were just talking about. He didn't do it. He did just the opposite, and it's a serious crisis. I mean, that's just it. It's a crisis of coaching. You can blame Leftwich all day long, and there's a lot to blame there. But the head coach is the head coach. Todd Bowles, just like Dirk Cutter was free to walk into that defensive meeting room and slap Mike Smith around, Todd Bowles is free to do the exact same thing in the offense and say, look, this is all very nice, but right now, guys, you know where we are? On 3rd and 7, great stat by ESPN. I'm going to be writing it up for Tuesday. On 3rd and 7 or longer this year, the Bucks are 4 for 43, at bottom of the league.
That's about 9%, Steve.
4 for 43, ranked 32nd in the league. It's disgusting. Opposing red zone TD percentage. The Bucks rank 31st in red zone defense. This is the coach. That's all it is right there. They have more talent to be 20th in each category, which probably would have won them some games.
And Lee, here's another category right up your alley and a personal favorite of mine. And I couldn't believe it when I wrote it. I mean, it is hard to believe. The last two games, and let's face it, that wasn't the steel curtain a week ago.
No.
Especially without T.J. Watt and Fitzpatrick and 3 cornerbacks. And then Carolina's got an okay defense. It's better than their offense. It's okay. Brian Burns is a nice player. The last 2 weeks, they've had 26 third down situations. They failed on 22 of them. Yeah. Lee, you can't make this stuff up, Lee. You can't make it up.
I'm done with Leftwich. After watching Sunday's game, I'm done with him. He should be fired. I probably won't go to any more of his press conferences. I'm done. When Steve's talking about urgency, the very first freaking play from scrimmage, Leonard Fournette up the middle. Now, here Leftwich put on this show last week, oh, I'm going through all my mistakes, I'm going through all my play calls to find out what's wrong, blah, blah, blah. You know, he was acting like he could be a changed man. Same old Leftwich. And I'm just done with him. And the Bucks should be done with him. They're getting worse. I don't care if a high school kid is at left guard rather than Luke Getke. The talent they have on that team on offense, and Leftwich cannot find a way to scheme guys open, to scheme away. So if Getke is this sieve like people claim he is, that they can't properly have an offensive line maneuvers to make sure he doesn't hurt them. You know, if he had any guts, he'd fall on the sword. But we know better. He's stealing money from the Glazers.
Ira, when I hear stealing money, I think of insurance companies and what they do to homeowners and why you need to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. If you have a disaster in your home, flood, you come home under the sink, there's water, it's been there for 3 days, you didn't know, you've got mold brewing, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. They have urgency, not like Byron Leftwich. They are there for you 24/7, and they're going to respond 24/7. Come out to your property, give you a free assessment of what's happening. Maybe it's a fire, whatever it is. If it's an insurance situation, owner Josh Martin, he's got 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. He knows how to make sure to get the work done right so your insurance company doesn't rip you off. And Florida's Elite Restoration Sage has $500 for all Joe Bucks fan and Ira Kaufman listeners. All you got to do is mention it when you call. It's got to be before you agree to go forward with Florida's Elite Restoration. But let them know, hey, I heard about it from Ira, and they're going to give you $500 back. Maybe you use that toward your deductible, or it's just cash back, whatever it might be, after you get their free assessment and decide you want to work with them to fix that problem in your business or your home, that disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration. We can't say enough about them.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Steve, here's another thing that's driving me nuts. Absolutely crazy. You know, I got to get Leftwich to listen to this podcast, Steve. It's the only way. Or I got to have a sit down with him and then draw X's and O's on a napkin. Steve, Steve, how many times can I say it? Stop throwing 6-yard passes. What is going on? Godwin, you know, 9 yards average. Mike Evans, 10-yard average. These are on catches. Catches, not incompletions. Catches. Steve, they don't get yards after the catch. That's not the way this team's built. There's no Antonio Brown here. There's not going to be yards after catch. Godwin's not 100%. You got to air that ball out. And I don't want to hear any malarkey that the whole game turned on Mike Evans' drop. I don't want to hear it. It's a terrible drop. You don't expect it from Evans. He fell on his sword. He said all the right things. But I said it. I'll say it again, Steve. Evans catches that ball. They lose 21-10 because they were outplayed, out-muscled, out-physicaled, out-coached. Right now, Leftwich doesn't have any answers, Steve. I don't know if Arians needs to get in there. It's a delicate situation. Arians was, pushed himself aside, and he doesn't want to Leftwich looking over his shoulder. I don't know if Christensen can help. Something's got to change back there. And I don't think Bowles is going to fire Byron Leftwich in midseason. I don't think that's going to happen.
He won't. Someone up above will. Perhaps.
Ira, Tom Brady on his podcast addressed the comments by Mike Evans, which was, you know, Evans sort of after the game talking about how he had his drop and, quote, I seen the life go out of us, that it was affected them more than just that one play. And Brady addressed it and he said that was Mike's opinion and Mike speaking for himself. And I can tell you that that play was done. It happens. Third play of the game. Okay, let's get him next play. He said that was not my feeling or thoughts on that play and how it affected us, which I thought was interesting. You know, everything's calculated on Brady's podcast. It's pre-recorded, and he does it in the morning, and then they edit it and all that stuff. So Brady really separated himself from that comment, but to hear Mike Evans say it was just flat-out disturbing. It was as disturbing as what we talked about years ago. Back in 2015, Lavonte David, opening snap of 2015, Major Wright gets a personal foul for a high hit on a guy, and David said it killed their momentum for the whole game. First play of the first game of the season, opening day. He said that play got to the team, and they let it affect them. So I don't know if it's a sign of mental weakness, Ira. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you, if you get a bunch of 13-year-old girls out there playing basketball, and you know somebody shoots an air ball, and then the team comes back and gets a three-pointer, and it's a 5-point swing or something like that, and they say after the game, oh, you know, it was that sequence in the first quarter. It destroyed us for the game mentally. You'd think they were a bunch of little girls.
Yeah, Lee, it was a remarkable comment by Evans. I know he said it off the top of his head, and he didn't have time to think about it. Maybe that makes it worse because you'd figure that makes it more honest. Lee, are their psyches that fragile on this team? Lee, this This team's supposed to be the bully. The Bucks are the bullies. The difference in 2015, Lee, is they stunk. You know, they had years and years of losing. Okay, I can understand to a degree, Lee, that loser's mentality, but not with the 2022 Buccaneers. Lee, are we back in the dark ages? Why?
Well,
this is a talented roster.
I can't paint with a broad brush based on Mike Evans' comments that all of a sudden they got a mentally weak team only because these are the same guys that won 29 games the past 2 years, and what they did and what they accomplished, week of mine doesn't describe that.
You know? Maybe these are not the same guys. Maybe.
Well, you look at the roster. How many guys have returned from the last couple of years on this team? You know, if you're telling me Russell Gage is weak-minded, okay. You want to tell me Getke? I think I don't know if that's fair. But the backbone of this team, the majority of this team, returned from last year. So, yeah, I can see them getting disappointed with that catch, but to throw in the towel in a whole game, you can see how you can connect the dots. But I can't go there yet because I saw what this team has done the last couple of years, and mentally weak teams don't do what they've done. Whereas before, the major right, what's that tell you? Major right. That team, that team had zero street cred. These guys do.
They're missing some warriors, Steve. We got to be honest. I mean,
they're missing a lot, Ira. Now, where's Tom Brady's blame in all this, Ira? That's what I need your wisdom on. Where's the blame on Brady for not getting the team ready to play, getting the offense fired up? I mean, he's supposed to rub off on everybody. Jason Light, we heard him speak in 2020, 2021 about how the Tom Brady effect would be there with the team in 2024, 2025. It would last. It's not even made it through 2022, and he's still here. So where's Brady here in motivating the guys? I thought it was very interesting that for some reason, and you know they were looking for it, the Fox cameras didn't pick up Brady yelling at anybody. Well, why not? I didn't see anybody else on TV yelling at anyone either. I mean, lifelessness comes to mind, and I didn't see Todd Bowles yelling at anyone either. This was a critical, critical game on the schedule. I mean, this isn't just another game. And it was 7-0 late in the game. I mean, you expect to see more fire. Where's Brady's role in what happened Sunday?
He's beaten down, Steve. He's beaten down. The weight of the world is on his shoulders. I think he's starting to realize maybe that they're not good enough. And I never thought I'd say that about Brady, because I don't think he's ever thought that since his first snap in the NFL, that we're not good enough to win these games. He's starting to doubt some of these guys. The Gronk factor, Lee, is real. He mentions them all the time. It's not going to happen. Lee, the question is, do we have any confidence, Lee, that things are going to turn around for Brady in the next 10 weeks, 10 games? I don't see any signs of it, Lee, and I'm going to go back to something. Look, it's an intangible. Lee, I don't think I'm reading into this. I watch these games as close as you guys do. You got to have a little fun playing football, Lee. You got to have a little joy. I don't see it. A guy makes a good play, tackle for loss, Levante David flying around. I don't see it. I don't see the enjoyment. The life's been sucked out of this franchise. And if I see it, the Glazers have to see it. Should they lose Thursday night, and the Bucks are not often home underdogs, certainly not since Brady came around, Steve, maybe the Chiefs game, a couple of years ago. But if they lose and drop to 3-5, I think around the bye week, I think the Glazers are going to order some significant changes, if that happens.
You were asking me, Ira, about the offense. I got to be blunt. As long as Byron Leftwich is pulling in strings, I have zero confidence. Zero.
Why is he getting under your skin, Lee?
Painfully obvious. I mean, even a guy walking around the White Cane can see he's overmatched. He's over his head. He's overwhelmed. He needs to go. Happening over and over and over.
But, Lee, they averaged 30 points for 2 years. For 2 years, they averaged 30 points.
What's the difference between the last 2 years and this year?
Well, you could say the offensive line.
There's one big difference.
No Arians?
No Arians.
Well, Steve, I guess people that thought Arians was along for the ride might be rethinking that.
I would also say that, you know, what's going on in the interior offensive line is a big difference too. A couple of beasts up there, Pro Bowlers, can make a lot of guys look good, and it's looking more like that's part of what was happening with Leftwich, because he's not adjusting. The adjustments are not there against terrible freaking teams.
How many freaking teams have an offensive line like the Bucs had the past couple of years? Very few, if none. Ira Steve and I talked about this the other day. The freaking Bengals had the worst offensive line in football outside of maybe Chicago. They're one blankety blank play away from the Super Bowl. You don't think their offensive coordinator, Zach Taylor, was doing stuff to find a way so they could get receivers open downfield, so they could run the ball to certain holes where they wouldn't be stopped? And, you know, people, oh, my God, Newkicky, we're going to lose 12 games. Coach them up, coach. Coach them up. That's your flipping job.
And, Steve, you know, I think where it's showing up the most, Steve is on the short yardage situations. They've been terrible at it. Third and one, fourth and one. There's no push, Steve. So you might put a finger there. Where's Marpet? Where's Jensen? I mean, that's legit, Steve. That's legit.
Leftwich was asked this last week. If you think Leonard Fournette's such this power back that apparently Leftwich thinks he is because he won't stop running them up the middle for a yard loss.
Right.
Take that guy, run him up Tristan Wirfs's asshole. No, he won't do that. Ira, if an idiot like me can see this on TV, why can't an NFL coach figure it out?
And you never got an answer, did you, Lee?
We'll never get an answer. We'll never get an answer. But you know what? I got an answer for Leftwich. Clean your office out.
Ira, I know that you don't know the answer, but what happened at One Buck Sunday night and Monday? One, do you think the Glazers backed off and said, you know what? We're going to resist. We'll wait and see what happens Thursday. 8 games in, a little mini bye. If we want to step in, we'll do it then with whatever that might be. Number two, do you think they did that, or what did they do? Number two, what's Jason Light's role here? Okay, Jason Light knows that it's an all-in season. He's a heavy-handed GM here. He's a powerful GM. Todd Bowles is not Bruce Arians in the hierarchy of stuff here. And did Light go to Bowles and say, look, we need a meeting or something like that? Or do you think Light also sat back, talked to the Glazers and said, you know, let's wait another game? What happened?
I vote for option one. The Glazers are not impulsive. There are a lot of things, but they're not impulsive. Have they ever fired a coach after one season? I don't think so. Even Shiano got two. Even Lovey got two, right, Lee? And Cutter got three. So, Lee, I'm looking at the bye week after the game in Munich. If something's going to happen, I think that's when it's going to happen. Lee, the saving grace for Leftwich and maybe some other coaches on this staff, and Lee, as you've pointed out many times, and I think it's never been more true, Bowles didn't have the time to make any assistant coaching changes that he might have wanted. You've made that point many times, and I think it's never been a more cogent point than right now. There might be, you dare say, Lee, there will be some coaching changes next year, even if they had a decent season. Well, they're not having a decent season. So, Steve, what I'm saying is the fact that this division stinks, they're tied for first. Technically, they're in first because they beat the Falcons. I think that precludes what some might call a rash move. I mean, nobody's going to fire Todd Bowles 7 games into a season. That's not going to happen. But, you know, in terms of Leftwich, some other things, I think it's a couple of weeks away, Lee. But if they don't turn this thing around, there's going to have to be changes. I don't think the Glazers will sit there and let what looks like the final Brady year go by and they're in a straitjacket. That's not going to happen.
Ivor, is there any chance they coax Arians to take over the offense?
You know Arians' relationship with Leftwich. I don't think he would do it unless the Glazers say...
What if Leftwich isn't around?
Well, if Leftwich isn't around, that's a different story. And so he's very sensitive about these things.
Ira, Tom Brady on his podcast praised Leftwich only in the standpoint of his speech to the team Monday about confidence, that he talked about how the game always tests your confidence, even when you're playing well, and a lot of the challenges tied to confidence. And Brady seemed to really like the message that was put out there. And Brady really emphasized that any speculation about him quitting is ridiculous. He's never quit anything in his life. He's beyond committed to the team, loves the organization, loves his teammates. He likes what he's feeling from his teammates as far as their commitment. And Brady wouldn't even speculate on getting things right or things going bad. He's all about, he said, committing to the process of just getting better each day. And if you can do that and build a little confidence with what you're doing, it can just grow, and there's plenty of time to let it grow. I didn't get any feeling from Brady that that he's down on Leftwich. Not that he would show that, but he sort of wanted to show that that he liked the messages that were coming. I really liked his speech that he made on how committed he is, and that he's not going to play for any team that's quitting, and he's not going to surround himself with quitters, and he's certainly not quitting at all.
Well, Steve, while you're preoccupied with Tom Brady's attitude, I'm preoccupied with his right arm. Every game, I'll say it, he makes 2, 3, 4 beautiful throws. I mean beautiful. Mm-hmm. Between two defenders. He does it, Lee. He does it. But overall, this is not a Tom Brady season. It is not, Lee. He's got 8 touchdowns in 7 games. The red zone's a disaster. He's throwing balls in the dirt. 3rd and 8, he's throwing 5-yard passes. Lee, we're not used to this. We're not used to this. It's losing football. He's not the main reason, but he ain't helping. I don't want to open up that can of worms when you and I went after each other a couple of weeks ago where I said, if the season's bad and Brady doesn't play particularly well, I'm ready to move on from him. Let's not go there, Lee. Let's not go there. But, Lee, he's got to pick his game up. He's not playing well, Lee.
I can't say he's not playing well. He may not be playing up to his standards, which are, let's be honest, they're ridiculous. They're so good. But I don't think he's playing that awful. Now, if you subscribe to the theory that a lot of NFL people do, that games are won and lost on turnovers, you know, Lovey, I mean, he was like psychotic about it. And, of course, he lost. Brady only has 1 pick.
Stop right there. I'm glad you mentioned that. And this is a tough one for Buck fans, but you got to listen up because it's true. Lee just made a great point, Steve. It's not that they're losing the turnover battle. When the Bucs stunk all those years, you know, they always finished the season minus 11. A lot of giveaways. That's not the case, Steve. So my point is, that is an obvious place where you say, hey, we got to improve there. Turnover's the number one determinant factor. But, Steve, not this year. This is a 3-4 team that doesn't turn the ball over. What does that mean, Steve? I think it's even worse.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wrote that this morning. They are really playing mistake-free football as far as turnovers. They really are. And still they're getting clobbered on offense.
That is scary.
On the defensive side of the ball, there are struggles. You know, statistically, it's not crazy, but the red zone defense is bad. The run defense is dead. Take away the 60-yard run, which you can't do, but for fun, we'll take it away. They still average over 4 yards a carry, minus the 60-yard run. It's the Panthers. I mean, the run defense is just straight up gone. And the pass defense was exposed a little bit early. They went after Zion McCollum. I didn't really understand why they didn't start D. Delaney instead of McCollum, but that's not really, certainly didn't cost them the game. He didn't look good in his first NFL shot, big shot, and his first start. And it's just messy. Absolutely messy, Ira. And, you know, it's not awful, and they're certainly, I think their defense is still going to win some games for the team this season, but they're not generating turnovers, and it just doesn't look good. What are your thoughts on defense?
Steve made a couple of points. Takeaways, not acceptable. Run defense, Lee, it started to slip last year, and it's taken another, this time, major step down. Thank you, Mr. Ndamukong Suh. Lee, you and I have been talking about that. When they let him go, look out, you know. And Hicks isn't even there, so we can't even determine how good a run stuffer he is. But I doubt he's as good as Sue against the run. But, Lee, I got to be fair. Lee, the Panthers had 7 points at halftime. I mean, am I going to up on Devin White and William Golston? They had 5 3-and-outs, Carolina, in the first half. You got to be winning the game at that point. Yeah, they had 1 touchdown drive. Okay, they had it. Legitimate. Lee, they did nothing. Just like Pittsburgh did nothing after one touchdown drive in the first half. The Bucs should be winning by 10 points at intermission. I'm gonna place 85% of the blame at your man Leftwich's door, and I'm sticking with it. Too much pressure on defense, Lee.
I agree. I hear some people in the national media, and Brian Baldinger in particular, who I like. I like him as a person. I like his analysis. Shockingly, he's absolutely killing Bulls and the Bucks defense. I mean, he's really going to town. And I'm like you, Ira. If you look at the big picture, Bucks held Carolina to 21 points. That should be plenty enough for the Bucks offense to play off of. Plenty. And likewise, the Steelers, 20 points. You hold an NFL team in 2022 to 20 points. You should win that game. Was it Warren Sapp boys said, just give me 17 points? Well, the Bucks gave the offense 20 points in 2022 with Tom Brady, Evans, Godwin, and still they couldn't win the game. And it's same thing in Carolina. They gave them 21 points, and they couldn't beat a team trying to tank.
Steve, it's not an elite defense, but it's a pretty good defense.
It's pretty good, Ira, but here's the thing. So much of defense is situational, right? You want the defense to rise in the big moments. The Bucs right now are ranked 24th in third down defense in the National Football League. 24th. That's not good, and there's no real reason for it. They have a lot of talent. And why is this happening? And I think Tony Dungy was talking about this last night. He was coming down on him as well on Sunday Night Football. I think it's more about the drop-off. It's more about why are they worse when they're the fourth year in the system and they've got a lot of talent and it's just gotten worse.
I think they're a little demoralized, Lee. I think they're demoralized. As the game goes on and the Bucks keep punting the football, not turning it over, but punting it, three and outs, back on the field, gentlemen, back on the field. And I don't know, I think it wears on you over time, Lee. It's been going on far too long.
Well, along those lines, Ira, I was thinking that maybe the defense just got worn out physically.
Very possible.
Because they were on the field so much.
But they weren't. If you look at the time of possession, it was even. It was even.
Wow, yeah. All those three and outs for the Bucks, and wow.
It's just not getting any better, Ira.
They get 7 points in the first half, Steve. Let's not get carried away.
Oh, I'm not getting carried away, Ira. Look, the big problems here are on offense when you can't score a touchdown against one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, what the hell? I mean, we're at rock bottom, Ira. This is rock bottom where we're sitting, as far as I'm concerned, given the talent on the team. It's a massive underachievement. And look, let's face it, everybody's shocked. We came into this year on a 22-5 run, and now we're 3-4. And Tom Brady, Tom Brady's not a cripple, and he's playing okay, not up to his standard, not great, but...
Steve, you made a great point early in this podcast. I think it's a critical one. Lee, our confidence in this team to turn it around. Lee, when you play a terrible game in Pittsburgh against a crippled team that was 1-4, and I think they had lost 4 in a row. They won the opener. Mike Tomlin teetering, his tenure in Pittsburgh being questioned.
Pittsburgh scored 10 points yesterday, Ira.
Yeah. Lee, Steve's point was, when you lay a turkey like that, you got to bounce back the next week. And the fact they didn't, Lee, and in fact played worse against a team that might even be worse than Pittsburgh might. That's very disturbing. Why should we have confidence that they're going to turn this around?
As long as Leftwich is running this offense, I have zero confidence. Because you know what? If he knew how to turn it around, he would have done it by now. Instead, he's doing the same crap he was doing week one. Same crap. And he won't change. If he would change if, number one, he felt like changing. Number two, he knew what to change. So this is the offense they're stuck with until they make a move with Leftwich.
Man, Ira, I know I could use a Big Storm beer about now, and a lot of fans could use two or three. Big Storm beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm beer is locally brewed, Locally owned. We love Big Storm beer. Tap rooms in Odessa off State Road 54. Excellent menu. They've got live music there. Bigger menu at the flagship location in Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Big Storm Brewery, beautiful outdoor patio there, indoor tap room. Great time, and that's where we'll be for the Bucks game in Germany in mid-November, Sunday morning kickoff, 9:30. Breakfast will have an exact time. I think it's going to start at 8:45. It's going to be great, Ira. Really looking forward to it. Big Storm Brewery also has tap rooms in Orlando at the Amway Center, open every day. And down in Cape Coral, they're in the stores with their beers. Could you use one right now, Ira?
I hope I'm wrong, but I might need six Bay beers by Friday morning.
Big Storm Beer, try one. That's all we tell you to do. Try one out. A Bromosa, their tangerine IPA, is the top seller. It's fantastic. BigStormBrewery.com.
I got to ask you this, Ira. PJ Walker and a refugee from the XFL. When Antoine Winfield got hurt, that made three Bucks starters out of the game in the secondary. Do you notice that all of a sudden the immortal PJ Walker started testing the Bucks secondary? And a week before, Pittsburgh had three corners and an all-pro safety out, and Leftwich decided to run, and run some more and didn't really test them when you had a far heavier superiority of talent at wide receiver? That is so irresponsible that it just blows my mind. And, you know, I got to lay some of the blame at Bowles. Bowles should have got on the head that, and he's like, hey, fool, start throwing the ball at these practice squad guys. So I got to give Bowles a little blame there too. But I just thought it was very interesting. An XFL refugee knew enough to go after a wounded animal and left, which didn't.
That was a smoking gun moment, Lee. Very well said. Smoking gun moment. Steve, I'm getting Buck games wrong every freaking week. It's driving me crazy. But I got one right. I think we all did last week. We said there was going to be one hell of a concerted effort to get Mike Evans involved early. I said he was going to get 10 to 12 targets, Lee. I think Isbitz might have said 15. Looks like Isbitz was right. But, Lee, here's my point. Other than the third snap of the game, which should have been a long touchdown, Lee, he didn't test Carolina deep. He's got Mike Evans. That's all you need to know, Lee. Where is the long sideline pass that's going to draw the flag? Lee, I'll give you another one, Lee. Lee, this is another personal one of mine. I'll go to my grave with this one, Lee. Where's the freaking screen pass once in a blue moon that I see other teams using? On 3rd and 14, it's very effective. You dunk that ball off. You get a couple of blockers in front of Fournette.
3rd and 14. And
Steve, the next thing you know, it's a 15-yard gain. I mean, a well-run screen pass is very effective. Obviously, Leftwich has never heard of the play. Lee?
I can tell Ira used to cover the Giants because Tom Landry loved screen passes.
It drives defenses crazy, Lee. It does. You do it well.
They did actually.
The problem is nowadays in the 21st century, those things are so expected that more often than not, they lose you yards.
Well, they executed a good one in this game, Ira, and I thought of you, but it didn't continue, and it's just not really in their playbook. And let's face it, they don't really have a shifty screen kind of guy. I'm not saying they can't run one effectively, but yeah, it just doesn't look good. There's so many aspects that don't look good here, Ira. You know, I had other things I want to talk about, but I'm so damn depressed by this game and this situation. However, you know, I think we should just get right into Thursday's game because we'll come back after the game with a podcast. And Sage, I'm going to go first because I think I'm going to shock you a little bit. I just believe that we've reached the point. I don't know why it didn't happen previously last week. That I cannot answer. But I think we've reached the point where Tom Brady's going to take over here to control what he can and smack around Leftwich, have a little bit more influence. And while Pittsburgh should have been the wake-up call at $1, I think this was the wake-up call at $1. And I just believe they have enough talent to win some games. And in the NFL, usually if you're really talented, you're going to win your share of games, and talent typically wins out to some degree. It doesn't mean you're going to make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl, but talented teams win games. That's what we're seeing with the Jets now. They're figuring it out, but they've got a lot of talent, and the talent is shining through. So I'm going to pick the Bucs on Thursday. I think Brady will find a way to get it right. The Ravens have a lot of holes in their team. They don't pass the ball too well. Lamar Jackson, I watched that game this morning, 120 yards through the air. They can run. They can do a lot of things. They're a tough team to prepare for, but the Bucs are pretty athletic on defense, and I think it's an interesting matchup. And I just think Brady is going to figure out against this pretty soft Ravens defense that they'll find a way to do it. And Thursday night teams hitting the road have a terrible record. And so I'm going to put my faith in Brady. It's an all Brady pick, and I'm going 23-20 Bucs.
You're up, Lee. You're up.
Until the Bucs prove otherwise, they're the worst team in the NFL right now. Yeah, I said that. Name a team that's playing worse than the Bucs. There is none. Ravens 38, Bucs 9.
Wow.
Prove me wrong, Bucs. I really, really want you to prove me wrong. But right now, I got to call it like I see it. Or as Chris Russo would say, we got to call it like you say it.
I'm leaning towards Izbits on this one, Lee. I don't know why. Bucs are underdogs. But I think what Steve meant, if you can't get up for a Thursday night nationally televised game, and Baltimore's, you know, they're okay. They're not Buffalo. They're not the Chiefs. They're not. They're okay. Bowles should know how to defend Lamar Jackson if anybody does. He's played running quarterbacks. He knows all about Jackson. I'm kind of with his bits here. I'll say this, Lee. If they get drubbed, this season will spiral out of control. I'll say that. So I'll say 23-17. God forbid we're wrong on this one, Stevie. God forbid. It would mean 5 losses out of 6 games?
If they lose this game, it's a 5-alarm fire. That's just it. That's all it is. You can't go 3-5 with Tom Brady. You can go 3-5 with Jameis Winston and Brian Fitzpatrick and a band of clowns, but you can't do it with this roster, with seasoned coaches and everything that we know about this team and how many 5 Pro Bowlers on defense. It's an absolute 5-alarm fire crisis. And,
it's already there, man.
And that's it.
It's already there.
Well, I just look at it, guys, that I think that if you somehow find your way to 5-5 at the bye, that's not the worst place to be. And given the division, it makes it all very salvageable at that point. So that's where I am. I'm not ready to call it the 5-alarm fire yet, but 3-5, it just can't happen. If they're any good, it cannot happen. You got to beat a decent Baltimore team.
What do you think of me calling the Bucs right now the NFL's Hindenburg?
You said they're the worst team in football right now, and I can't argue against you, Lee.
Well, I also referred to him as the Hindenburg.
I think a bunch of people died in that one, Lee. That might be a stretch.
Yeah, but, okay, that might be a stretch. Now, here's one I don't know. If anyone in the Tampa Bay media has the pulse of the Glazer family, it's you. How much money is left which costing the Glazers?
Incalculable, Lee. Incalculable. You're going to see it show up at the stadium. Maybe as early as Thursday night, you might see thousands of empty seats. I think Buck fans are starting to get turned off this team. They don't like this team. This team's dull right now. And if they lose Thursday night, Lee, can you imagine what the attendance is going to be for the future home games? It's going to have a major economic effect. And I'll say it again, Lee, I can't even imagine this team not winning this division. It'd be one of the stunning events, I think, in recent NFL history if that happened.
The Identity Tampa Bay currently has a story up. 20 things you'd rather do than watch the Bucs right now.
Whoa. Well, I'll add 21. The Charlie Crist, Ron DeSantis debate. Yeah, I watched it, Lee. I watched it.
I don't really know if you remember this. I wrote a story about this. You know, obviously I haven't covered the Bucs as long as you have. But remember when we used to be able to get down on the sidelines the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, if we so chose?
Of course.
And, well, do you remember the Monday night game when the Bucs and Shanna were 0-8? D Do you remember that? And they beat the Dolphins on a Donald Penn touchdown, by the way. A Donald Penn touchdown catch. But yes, do you remember that? Do you remember that game?
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember how ugly the crowd was?
Oh, man. You know, by then they had turned on Shiano big time, Lee.
Yeah.
And why not?
That's going to be Leftwich Thursday night. I think it's got a chance of getting really ugly Thursday night.
That's not a bad observation, Lee. Steve, the vitriol towards Leftwich, I think more than towards Bulls right now. It's overwhelming, Steve. Overwhelming.
I hear you, Ira. Just on a general note, I mean, Tom Brady's on this team. A lot of people love and can't wait to watch Tom Brady. I don't think they have any going to have any issue with attendance or anything like that, that people won't want to go. There's a ton of people who are dying to get into the stadium that haven't been able to do that over the last couple of years. They got marquee games left. I mean, it would have to really go in the tank to the point where they're out of it by December for that to happen. It's weird booing a coordinator. You know, you have to really be organized. If to boo a coordinator, you have to sort of, it's hard to let the coordinator know, but they may have signs and things like that for Leftwich, if that's the problem.
Lee, we saw some of it with Mike Smith, Lee. We did, towards the end.
Did we? I don't recall. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I know they were booing him, but I don't recall them saying, like, Smith must go. Maybe they did, and I just don't remember. But here, I do remember that Monday night game when against Miami, and that place was wild. I mean, it's a good thing the Bucks won that game. Had the Bucks lost that game, it might have gotten out of control. I mean, you know, people were drinking all day. They were showing up wearing hazmat suits because the MRSA happened that year. They had signs, Shiano go home, or it was ugly.
Here's one angle though, Sage, that is an opportunity to sort of for fans to send a referendum. I was thinking about this. Bruce Arians' night, him going into the Ring of Honor, still has to be rescheduled. So, you know, I guess there's a chance they do that against the Rams on November 6th, but more likely they give a little notice for his family and all that, and they do it on the Monday night game against the Saints, Buccaneers in Tampa, December 5th. Well, when Arians steps on the field, you might hear 50,000 people chanting, please come back, or one more year, or call the plays, or who knows, you know, something like that.
We want Bruce.
Yeah, yeah.
We want Bruce.
Please come back. Please come back, you know.
It will be very, you're right, Steve. It'll be a very emotional night for Arians if that's the date that the franchise picks. Two silver linings to this terrible start. One obvious, the NFC South. That's obvious.
Yeah, very true, very true.
But Lee, here's the second one. And with all due respect to the Eagles, you know, who are very well coached and look like a very solid team, Lee. But we got to admit it. The Rams don't look good. The Packers look even worse. The Cowboys, eh. So the 49ers, eh, not so good. Anybody watch the Chiefs dismantle them yesterday? So, Lee, what I'm saying, and the Saints aren't any good.
No.
So, in terms of the NFC, if they can get their act together, kind of like they did down the stretch in 2020, they were 7-5, not 3-4, but they were 7-5. And they were going through a rocky patch, lost a couple of tough home games, and then never lost again. I don't know if this team's capable of doing that, Lee, but if they do and they get into the postseason, you know, I'm not sure the Eagles will hold up under that kind of pressure.
No kidding.
And some of these other powers, Lee, they don't look particularly strong. So that's in the Bucs' favor if they can get things going.
Yeah, they got to stumble their way into the playoffs first, in which they could do. You're right, Ira. You're right. It's not like they're playing, you know, the 84-49ers.
Well, Sage, as crazy as it sounds, it's so damn sad. They got to find a way. If they don't get the offense together, they're going to get blown out by the Seahawks, who put up a ton of points on everybody and just have it together in all phases on offense. They'll get blown out. Yeah. All right, Ira, you know what? We're sending you on your way, and Thursday night we'll hope that you're correct on your pick for the Bucks to win. Final thought, Ira. Say goodbye.
I can't even, Steve, can't even think of a Thursday night debacle. The Bucks have had some on national television. They have. Lee, remember the Falcons game? Oh, boy.
Exactly. It was like 42-6 or something like that.
I think they might have scored 56. Atlanta.
Wow.
Steve, am I wrong? 56?
That was on the road. That was on the road. Bucks at Atlanta. Yeah. Not much of a goodbye, but we'll take it, Ira. I know you're depressed like every other Bucks fan out there. If you want to feel better, Sage, hit up BillCurryFord.com. Look at all the great specials. BillCurryFord.com, whether you want to buy a truck or a Ford Escape, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Order your vehicle today. And hang in there, Sage, and we'll talk to you later in the week.